Turn your Bibles here to Acts chapter 19 as we continue verse by verse, chapter by chapter through book of Acts. Tonight we find ourselves in verse 11 of Acts 19. And the Word of God is not bound. And here we see the continuing moving of God's Word and across the world through the hands of Apostle Paul and his missionary journeys. We'll pick up our reading in verse 9. But when various were hardened, divers were hardened, believed not, but spake evil of that way before the multitude, he, or Paul, departed from them, separating the disciples, reasoning or disputing daily in the school of one Tyrannus. That was his method here. Let's pray here tonight. Dear Lord, thank you as we look into these various verses here before us and pray that you would honor your Son and your Word here tonight. And Father, bless us. And help us, Lord, as saints of God, to have the eternal view of the Word of God that is not bound. So, Lord, bless us, and Lord, may the Word of God increase in each of our lives. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. verse 10, as Paul taught in his journey, and this continued by the space of 2 years, so that all that which dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jew and Greek. And, you know, the Word of God was going forth, people being saved. And in this process of people hearing the Word of God, verse 11, Luke, who's the author of Acts, brings us to our attention here. Now, Luke was what? A physician. So anything with miracles or healing, he kind of was on it. Do you know what I'm saying? Because he's a physician. He would tune into this. And so he made mention of these miracles here and healing. Verse 11, and God wrought special miracles. Now, I found it kind of humorous because a miracle in and of itself is unusual, but to have an unusual miracle. Do you see how I'm saying? It's like a hyper to it, like a supersized miracle, however you want to say it, but it's special or unusual miracles. Verse 11, and God wrought these very unusual miracles by hand of Paul. Well, let's look at what these unusual miracles were. So that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs or aprons, and the diseases departed from them, and the evil spirits went out of them. That's pretty unusual. Now, I want you to think about verse 12 here concerning these healings. One, some people were so sick, they could not go to Paul for healing. Now, I will point this out in Scripture. When Paul lists the gifts of the Spirit, it says gifts, plural, of healing. Nobody had the gift of healing. If anybody had the gift of healing, what would that enable them to do? They could go to Hershey Medical and what?
Empty it out.
There's times Paul here, he had to leave one of his friends sick. He couldn't heal. But there's gifts of healing. Now, verse 11 is the understanding we as believers had. Anybody that does any miracles and God wrought, it always traces back to God. And anybody that God uses, they're just a vessel. It's like the postman. If you get a special gift from somebody, do you go out and hug the postman for bringing it to your house? No, you know, he's just a delivery person. The giver is the person you thank. And so for here, it's God wrought. Now, Paul was used of God. God is a source. Nobody has the gift of healing. Now, tell me this. Why would not God allow gifts of healing it's like Lazarus raised from the dead. Why wouldn't he be raised forever from the dead, so to speak? Why do miracles or gifts of healing stop at some point?
Because we are sinners.
Okay, and because we're sinners, what does Scripture say?
We have to die.
Right, it's pointed once to die. Right. It's like I had saw one faith healer one time, and somebody made a very curious, I thought, insightful observation about this person who claimed to have the gift of healing, he could heal people. He said, this fellow said to him, sir, you claim you can heal people, but why are you wearing glasses? Because his eyes were sick. You know, he could heal others, but he couldn't heal his own eyes. You know what I'm saying? The hypocrisy sometimes shows through pretty readily. But God is the one that heals. And Paul, oftentimes, he couldn't heal people because it wasn't God's will. And that's why ultimately, now, is there a law of gravity? There is a law of gravity. If there is a law of gravity, How can planes fly? Yes, but there's another law that operates. What's that law? The law of thermal. Yeah, well, it's physics. You're exactly right. Yes, absolutely. It's right. It's because a certain shape of the wing has a little cup shape in it, and when the air passes over, that creates a low pressure area. And that low pressure area is what gives the wing lift, and that's how it can fly when it's moving forward. It creates that low pressure area under the wing. I don't know if you've ever seen NASCARs when they're racing, and sometimes they'll turn sideways, and all of a sudden they float in the air. Have you ever seen pictures of cars? That is because the way their roof line is shaped, it has that curve to it like this. The air rushes through the side, and all of a sudden they got a wing now, and it lifts that car right off the ground. Now, is gravity a law? It absolutely is. Now, sometimes God will lay aside the law of gravity, so to speak, and heal somebody. But ultimately, that law of gravity is always in effect because we're all going to die. Now, these miracles here that were wrought by Paul were for a purpose. And we'll look at that here. God wrought special miracles. Now, these are hyper miracles, so to speak. I don't know, because that special is emphasized. Miracle in itself is a miracle. I heard one person says, I know miracles happen today. He says, I can put in the dryer my clothes and I can have two blue socks, and when I get them out, I got a black and a brown sock. Anybody ever had that happen in your dryer? You know what I'm saying? You can't find the right color socks, and sometimes you thought you put them in there. He says, I know miracles happen. Well, for Paul here, so that from his body were brought unto the sick. Now, these people could not go to Paul, so that God in his sovereignty allowed these miracles. Handkerchiefs or aprons and diseases to part. Now, tell me this. The people that brought the handkerchief, who did they get that handkerchief from? No, who did they get it from? Paul. Okay? To me, that person that's taking this from Paul to the sick person, they were taking the word of God with them because they were sent from Paul. And not only did these people get a handkerchief, but what else did they get? Probably a witness or a testimony or a word from Paul through this person. Somebody had to take it to him. And I think it's much deeper than just that they were healed. But I think these people that came from Paul that took handkerchiefs or aprons or whatever else to these sick people, that their healing verified what God was saying through Paul. And we'll see this again here shortly. So that what Paul spoke was verified because these items that came from Paul, people were healed of the diseases. And what else were they healed of here in verse 12? They're healed of diseases and what else? Oh, man, I thought about this. Is there still evil spirits today? I think some people still have evil spirits. Do you know what I'm saying? I don't think they all went away when these people walked on the face of the earth here. And I think today we can see some evil spirits still inhabiting people just by the deeds they do and the things they say. Well, the evil spirits went out of them. Okay, now, verse 13. This is unusual passage here. Now, I'm going to tell you, I did some reading here, and I'm just going to tell you what some people said. And I can't verify this, but I can just tell you what they said about these passages. And it's just, take it for what it's worth. Certain vagabonds. Now, vagabond today carries kind of it's a wandering Jew. I'd say Jewish exorcism. They wandered around from place to place. They weren't settled. They didn't have a certain place. Itinerant, some people call them. They just traveled around. Now, in those days, people had evil spirits, and some people would make their livelihood by casting out evil spirits. They'd be like the faith healers back in those days, and they'd get their money. Now, part of they would have these things they would say over people that had evil spirits. And part of what they do, one author wrote that they actually had some type of root of some plant. I don't know what it is, but I don't want to sound a little too gross here, but they would actually push this plant root up in somebody's nose. What caused such a reaction to them, they would fall over because it was just, I don't know if it was the bitterness of it, the impact of it, but it would knock them down. What they would do, they would set near this person a glass of water. And if that glass of water fell over, the evil spirit went out of you. Now, if you wanted a glass of water to fall over, Could you come up with 100 different ways to make that thing fall over if somebody hit the floor? I mean, you know what I'm saying? You could set things up or make things or make that thing unsteady. And whether this truly happened or not, but that's how they would get their money. They would try to get money from people that had evil spirits or problems, and they would cast them out. They would travel around. And these people here, now I want you to look at this carefully. They were Jews, but what type of Jews? Verse 14, there were seven sons of one Sceva, a Jew, chief of the priests. Is that plural or singular? Is that plural? Huh? Priest is... It'd be more than one priest, right?
I have singular in my Bible. It says there were seven sons of Sceva, who was a Jewish chief priest.
Okay.
He had seven sons. Chief of the priests.
Chief of the priests.
Yeah.
That's what it says. And the chief of the priests. I have singular in my Bible.
Two different.
Which he is saying that Sceva was a Jewish chief priest.
Okay. Okay, well, I looked at this here, and this encounter here, where is Paul at when all this is happening? What city? He's not in Jerusalem. Where is he at? Where is this happening at? It's in Ephesus. And further on, what is the Athenians cry out? Great is Diana of the Ephesians. Remember them crying that out in the temple? I kind of think in some ways... There were seven sons. I don't know if these, I don't think this was because the priests were in the temple in Jerusalem. They weren't in Ephesus. You had synagogues, but you didn't have priests in the synagogue. I almost think this may have been something with the worship of Diana, that these were priests within their cultural, religious area. I don't know. That's because they were Jew doesn't make...
The Bible reads it. There's only the seven sons over there.
Okay. Okay.
That's how my Bible
is. Okay. Well, that's fine. But all I'm trying to say is I'm not sure if this was a true Jew or this was somebody who was Jewish but worshipped in the Ephesian temple. Do you know what I'm saying? Because the priest should have been in Jerusalem serving, not in Ephesus. So however you want to interpret that. But what's interesting here is that in verse 13, took to call upon... over them which had evil spirits, the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, we adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preached. Now, they watched Paul cast out demons, and they said, hey, that works. This name Jesus kind of works. This is another incantation that we can do over these people. And they saw it as a way of making money. If this be true, that they traveled about making their livelihood like this, casting out evil spirits, and they saw Paul do it, and this name Jesus, wow, look what Paul does, and we'll do the same thing here. We adjure you about Jesus whom Paul preaches. Well, verse 15, when they tried to do that, an evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are ye? And the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped upon them. Now, it appeared here that he had very... superhuman power, demonic power, he overcame them, seven against one, prevailed against them, so that they fled out of the house naked and wounded. Now, in Ephesian culture, they worship idols, Diana, their Greek goddess, and but when word got around, verse 17, it was known to all the Jews and Greeks that dwelt at Ephesus, and fear fell on them all, and the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified, because they realized this evil spirit did not respond because of these seven Jews. It was Paul who preached in the name of the Lord Jesus had the power. So what it did, it went back to what Paul was teaching there in verse 9, reasoning daily in the school of one Tyannus, continued all the space of 2 years. These things that Paul taught and people went out, all of a sudden they realized what Paul is saying is true, because he was the one that had the power over the spirits, not these people that used Jesus' name in a way that was not effective. And when this was known all to the Jews and the Greeks also dwelling in Ephesus, fear fell on them all, and the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. They realized Paul was the one and had the power. And Jesus, as soon as Paul preaches, and the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. And many that believed came and confessed and showed their deeds. And many of them also, which used curious arts or magical arts, brought their books together and burned them before all men. Now these books, what are these books they had? Well, these were their incantations that they would use over people to cast out evil spirits or to all their magical arts and their witchcraft. They realized what Paul is saying is true, and they didn't want doctrines of demons, these books that fill with all these things that are demonically inspired. So what did they do? They burned them before all men. They counted the price of them and found it 50,000 pieces of silver. So what was the purpose of all that? Verse 20, so mightily grew what? The word of God and prevailed. And where God's word grows, idolatry, witchcraft, the occult diminishes. But where the word of God is diminished, guess what happens? All those evils come back again. And I think we see that in America. A lot of these evils that we have in our culture is because the word of God is diminished instead of being exalted. Unusual passage of scripture here, but God put it here for a reason. And anybody have any thoughts about what we've looked at here tonight? Any insights? Right. Miracles were to glorify God, to show compassion on the weak and the needy, and also to verify the person who was ordained of God, like the apostles, that they were sent of God. That's what a miracle is for. And yes. All righty. Well, good passage we're here to chew on tonight. Well, let's pray here. Dear Lord, thankful for what we looked at here tonight. And we pray, Lord, that you would encourage us. And Lord, help us to see the word of God grow not only in our own lives, but those around us. And Father, whatever method you use and ordain, may we be your servants to bring glory to your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.